Oh, there it is. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. For the first time ever, the WIP Afternoon Show has our own embedded Washington, D.C. reporter.
Some say political correspondent.
Political correspondent, Elliot Shore Parks. How you doing out there, Elliot?
I'm doing good. I'm here standing outside of the West Wing, I believe. I was just in the press room, so, you know, putting my college degree to work, I guess.
Wow. There must be a part of it.
College degree? Where's your college degree from? Temple?
Temple University, yeah.
There you go. He could have gone anywhere. He chose Temple.
That's the one that accepted me.
It must be pretty cool just to look around and say, hey, I'm reporting from the White House.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, it is a nice day here in Washington. It's cool to see all the reporters. I think the last time I was at the White House, I was in like third grade and I took a tour. So it is definitely, you know, cool down here to be here. And so the ceremony starts at about 4:30. At that point, until then, we're just waiting. But, you know, I think they're already here in the White House, though.
Okay, so you're waiting out. So I guess what is the setup? You're waiting outside. What are they shuffling you around from place to place?
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, do you get yelled at by the press secretary, by Karen Levitt, the press secretary? Like, what is happening out there?
Yeah, so I'll just say this. It's no joke getting into the White House, first of all. I probably spent about 2 hours trying to get in. So I have made it into the grounds. But no, I mean, it's on the South Lawn. So as of now, all the media from Philadelphia that's here are just waiting in the press room. It seems like the Eagles players, I saw Jeffrey Lurie. Julian Lurie is here. A few players already that you can see in a picture is Lane, Mailata, it seems like Dallas Goedert is here. So, yeah, as of now, we're just waiting like an hour until they bring us out. And at that point, I would assume, you know, Trump will give a speech, and I think the Lombardi Trophy will be out there.
Wow. So we got the news that Jalen Hurts is not attending today, and it said Jalen Hurts and other, you know, prominent Eagles, I think I saw the line. Do you know who else may not be attending today? Have you heard anything?
So I do not know who is going to be here and who is not. Like I said, there was a posted picture on Twitter of what seemed like a lot of the players that are here already. And, you know, I did not see like A.J. Brown. I didn't see Devontae Smith. But we will find out, at 4:30. So, yeah, Jalen not coming is obviously definitely newsworthy, though. Jeffrey Lurie was asked back at the owners' meetings in April, you know, if players could not come if they wanted to. And he said, absolutely. He said he doesn't view it as a political thing. So, you know, I think each player or member of the staff will decide themselves if, you know, they want to be here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't force somebody to go do something. If Jalen or whomever that decides not to go to the White House, they'll eventually at some point have an opportunity to answer for that themselves as to why they aren't there. Listen, taking a trip to the White House, it is a great honor. When you think about it, and you don't always listen. I don't know how many. I never won a championship, so I never got a chance to visit the White House as a champion, whether it's college or professionally. Although my daughter and I, we did get a chance to visit that White House on the outside a couple years ago, but not inside.
You were not inside.
Yes,
the White
I was not inside the White House for a tour. So. It's a great opportunity, and for those that took advantage of it or taken advantage of it, it's great for them. But like I said, the guys that aren't there, I'm sure at some point they'll be asked and they'll get a chance to explain why they chose not to be there.
Man, you know what? It's America. If you want to go, you go. If you don't want to go, you don't go. And everybody is everybody's happy with the decision that they made. I do think there is something cool about saying that I succeeded so much in my field that I got invited to the White House, to celebrate it.
I would
not begrudge anyone for making the decision to go as well.
Hell, I believe I would have been there I would have gone just to say I was inside the White House.
Right.
I mean, that's me.
And I do think it's worth noting that, you know, they did when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they did not come then. So, you know, you do wonder if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you've won two Super Bowls, who knows how many, if you'll win another one or what, you know, the next opportunity you'll get. So I think after passing in 2017, you have to wonder if he was like, you know what, like, this is something I want to experience. And that's probably why he doesn't view it as political, because he did pass on it before, but you don't know if he'll get another chance. So that's my guess as to why, you know, he's here this time.
Yeah, and I'm sure, listen, it's a, you know, being a champion doesn't come around often for most sports franchises, universities, you know, whether it's male, females. So getting a chance to go there, although, listen, we know you can go to the White House if you sign up for a visitation of the White House or whatever, but that's different.
Different than being invited.
That's what I'm saying, being invited and really going as a team, as a championship team. Like, that's the real cool part of it, and getting that photo as a championship team. That's the thing you kind of want to take advantage of, I guess.
Now, Elliot, the players who are no longer on the Eagles also invited as well.
Yes.
So Darius Slay, all those guys. And it might be the
everybody on a championship team. Yeah.
It might be one of the last opportunities as a team to be together in a team setting.
Yeah, and so in the photo, the only photo we've seen so far of the players that are here, it does look like Mekhi Becton is there. Obviously can't confirm that until 4:30, but obviously he's not with the team anymore. I would say, too, in terms of the players being asked, because they are in OTAs, I would assume sometime in the next week or so we'll get a chance to talk to players at the NovaCare.
Yeah.
And without question, Jalen Hurts will be asked about it. Without question, Saquon Barkley will be asked about it, because Saquon, at this point, I would say, is a high-profile player that has decided to come, and Jalen has decided not to come. So, I think they'll be asked about it at that point.
Saquon was there a day early.
Yeah, Saquon on Marine One, flew on Air Force One, and played golf. Look, Saquon's
taking full advantage of his status.
Saquon's entire offseason has been about enjoying the fact that he just had the greatest running back season in NFL history and won the Super Bowl. Saquon's been drinking and going wherever he's invited, and, like, God bless Saquon for having that perspective. When are you ever going to have the opportunity to do this again?
I agree.
So, Elliot, so here is the, you know, you are Eagles Insider of the Year, 2025 Eagles Insider of the Year. You're embedded in D.C. You are at the White House. If you are given a chance to ask a question of President Trump, do you have a list of a couple of questions you're going to ask?
Well, I'm open to suggestions, but I would say the two that I would ask if I had an opportunity to ask him a question. One would be, I just got to know what he thinks of the tush push, the NFL trying to get rid of it.
Yep.
It seems like a guy that would have an opinion on that. And then also, in all seriousness, I will be curious to see if he addresses this today when he speaks. Like, the team didn't come in 2017, and now they're here. Just wonder what he thinks about that. But something tells me, despite my Insider of the Year status, I will not be getting to ask Trump a question today.
Well, dude, I've watched a lot of those press conferences. It's just about yelling it out first. You just gotta, if you've ever watched one of those press conferences with the press secretary or Trump, it's always just a bunch of people yelling and one of them getting called on.
Yeah.
So my advice to you, if the opportunity, you just gotta yell your question. You gotta go,
I will say, if that is the situation, I'm positive I'll get one in, because no one's beating me in one of those. Being raised in the Philadelphia market, I'm used to yelling to get my question in. I would be surprised if we got anywhere close enough for that to happen, but hey, you never know. That's why I'm here, just in case it does.
Just don't choke, all right? If you are in that situation.
No, he ain't choking. He's not choking.
Yeah, what if we
get
see...
Get me ready to go.
What if the quote is, President Trump was asked by Tim McManus, what do you think about the tush push? You'll never live it down.
I know you would love that. Yeah, I know you would love that.
I wouldn't love it. You're my guy. Yeah. I want you to win.
I would say this, E. I don't know the list of questions that you have there that you want to get out, but make sure, if you only get one, it's got to be quick and to the point.
Yes.
Quick and to the point. Something simple for him to answer. Tush push might not be a bad question there, but I'm just saying, simple and straight to the point.
How about this? Do you think Jahad Campbell is an edge or a linebacker?
Yeah. What do you think of Kyle McCord being number one on Spike's big board?
Number two. But yes.
Oh, sorry, number two. Okay,
number two. Yeah. And are you, one last thing before we let you go, Elliot, because we will check in with you after the festivities. Are you still sticking? So I went, I spent some time this weekend watching YouTube of a lot of the Eagles, draft picks. You're still sticking to this whole thing where Jahad Campbell's an edge, right? Not a linebacker.
Yeah, that's because it's not my opinion. I think that's why they drafted him. Like, I think they view him as an edge. If they thought he couldn't play edge, he would not have been the first-round pick. If he was strictly in a stand-up linebacker, they would not have selected him at 30 or 31. Now, look, we will see where the snaps distribute this year is, But by next year and, like, a part of this year, too, like, he will be playing edge. They wouldn't have wasted a first-round pick on an inside linebacker if they didn't think he could play edge.
So they hope he can play edge.
Correct, yes, they hope he can play edge.
Do you think he can play edge?
So I keep thinking about, honestly, what Ike said when we did our YouTube show on Friday. And I, well, I mean, what do you want me to, like, it was a good point.
That's a good, thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that while I think they want him to play edge, they draft him to play edge, he is very raw as an edge. But he's also very raw as an inside linebacker. Like, he's only played that position for 2 years of his life. The rest of his college career, and then high school too, he was an edge rusher. So he's actually, in some ways, newer.
Allen Iverson was a quarterback in high school. I mean, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, because I think, like, what I'm saying is he has not played inside linebacker a lot. And so when you...
But he's
when you
played it more than he has edge.
Not in his life. He's played it more recently.
In his life? I'm here to tell you, in high school, it doesn't really matter. In other words, he's probably the best athlete on the field. They just put him where needed. But going up against competition where you have to actually be good at your particular position because you're going up against higher competition, he's primarily been successful as an off-the-ball linebacker. He's played that more than he's played any other position. High school doesn't matter. You're the best athlete out there on the field. They just put you out there wherever they see fit. In college, they put you where they think you are best suited, where you are your most productive. And in college, he's played more off-ball linebacker than he has as a rusher.
Right, but I guess how I think he will take a good amount of snaps at inside linebacker this
year.
But I also think they view this as a pick for an
edge.
I agree. But also,
no, I agree with you, honestly. Right. I just think you're going way over the top in pushing the edge rusher aspect of his game.
So, Elliot, are you willing to say it's a failed draft pick if he's still playing inside linebacker in 2 years?
I mean, look, it depends how good he is. Obviously, if he's outstanding. But, yeah, sure. I think the Eagles would view this as not kind of becoming what they wanted it to if he's not playing edge a fair amount of snaps, if not full-time, in a few years. Because, again, in Howie's press conference, he mentioned Micah Parsons. Micah's rookie year, he played over 500 snaps at stand-up linebacker, right? But now, obviously, he barely ever plays that position. So
yeah.
I think they
because he's not very good at it.
Correct. Yeah. Well, that's certainly part of it. Now we'll see if Jahad Campbell is.
So let me ask you this. So when Jahad Campbell says the two linebackers he has studied the most and sort of mimics his game after is Michael Parsons and Fred Warner. One guy is a rush guy, the other guy is not. Right?
Yeah.
So, you would agree with that, right? So you would agree. So if I were to ask you, and I'm not, I'm just trying to get you to understand it's okay if he is a Fred Warner versus Parsons.
But the difference is in terms of how Fred Warner is used, Fred Warner only goes after the quarterback as a blitzer. He's never an edge rusher.
Yes.
So I think they want to try him at edge. But also, really quickly, just to paint the picture here, there is some type of emergency press conference going on behind me. Everyone
get
is,
over
like,
there.
Ran over. It's not Trump. I already looked. But like, it's just
who is
funny
it?
That
who is it?
I can't tell.
Is it Marco Rubio? Who is it?
It's not Marco Rubio.
Okay.
But it is funny because
is
I'm
JD Vance?
Yelling about. I'm yelling about whether Jahad Campbell will play edge or linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to get you to yell on the White House lawn.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, well, you're getting close, trust me.
Yeah.
And I wonder how long until they're like, all right, buddy, you guys can discuss that back in Philadelphia.
Well, if you get to question three, you got to ask Trump if players should be able to bet on themselves in professional sports.
That's a good one. If college athletes should be able to play
as long as they want. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot. Yeah. Elliot, here's the last thing I'm leaving you with.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I want you to get the question in.
Get it in, E.
It's I only use McManus to drive you harder. So I need you to get the question.
Ooh, boy.
In. All right, Elliot.
Yeah, I think we know why you use Tim, and it has to do with that. But I don't think it has to do with me.
Wow. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. There he is, Elliot Shore-Parks, our embedded reporter in Washington D.C.
Do you guys understand where I'm coming from with the Fred Warner?
Yes.
Michael, it's okay to be Fred Warner.
It's fine.
Arguably the best inside linebacker.
Die if he's Fred Warner.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Like, that's not a bad thing. And Elliot is right. The only time he usually rushes the passer is through blitzing.
Yes.
Well,
Or third down.
Yeah, that's sort of what Campbell did in college.
Yes.
that's sort of what he did in college.
I just need to pin Elliott where he is so when this guy is not an edge in two years.
Right.
Because like I'm watching him this weekend. I was like, well, this guy's a linebacker. That's all I thought. Watch him.
I totally agree with you. Right. Now, I understand Elliott is probably being told that the Eagles ideally would love if he can develop into an outside rusher.
Right.
I get that. That's not what he is.
Well,
and also,
last thing on this. Well, not last thing, because it's the Eagles' first-round pick.
Yes, first-round pick.
We're
trying to get people to actually properly evaluate him when watching him develop.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get through is that, like, we have people saying, oh, he's an edge, he's an edge. I'm telling you, when you watch him play in college, he doesn't play it, but he also doesn't look like it. Physically, he doesn't look like it. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I guess where I'm at is if Elliott was like over the top on what a great pick it was. Because he believes he's going to be an edge, not because he thinks he's a great linebacker.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Is that he was great. If he was not going to grade it an A, if
it was
just
an off the ball linebacker.
Yeah. That's all. All right.
We got to stop all the circus and popping stances around it, all right?
Yes. You hear that earlier?
Yes.
215.
I wrote it out there.
Yeah. 215.
Circus
and pomp and stance. 215-592-9494.
Wake up in there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I would argue I did.
Angelo in Southwest Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Ange?
Israel. What's happening, Ike? What's happening, Spike? What's happening, Fritz?
Wait, are you Israel or it says Angelo on my thing? You're Israel?
Israel from Southwest.
That's Jack.
I thought I heard Angelo.
Yeah, that's
not even close.
That's why the delegation is
why
suspect
you're over in Mexico
of you.
Me, yeah, over here in Israel.
All right, it is.
Ask me, and I'm like, no, not Angelo, Israel. I got a new number, not Angelo.
Okay, all right, is what's up, man?
So y'all are my go-to guys.
Yes,
I added Ike, I think, on Twitter and Instagram because I believe, you know what I'm saying, what the previous caller said. I think it's a cahoots against Shador. I really do. And it's like, you know, and another caller says, like, what has this kid done? What is the character issues that this kid done? You know, so is it that you mistake his confidence for arrogance? Because that's what I really think it is, because there's no off-field issues with this kid at all. How is this kid on the big board as the number two, which he's my number one, but the number two, we're going to go by all experts, the number two quarterback that falls to the fifth round? How is that possible?
Well, here's a couple things, Israel. First thing I would say is he doesn't have to. There are different kind of character issues. You're right. No bad off field stuff. No arrests. No, this guy did this.
None of that. Kid, yeah.
Yes, but they did. If you listen to McShay said his interview with the Giants went horribly, and they questioned whether he was coachable. So here's the issue: is yes, 4 months ago he was a top three pick, but even 2 weeks ago or even last week, there was talk about him slipping into the second round. The issue is that once he slips into the second round, is you start getting like, what are we drafting here? And do we really want a hassle of a guy? We want, when we're drafting second round and on, we don't want a guy who's going to be, who we're worried about is going to listen to what we say.
Yeah.
We don't want a guy who's going to be a hassle. We don't want a guy whose dad is going to be doing press conferences and this, that, and the other. I know you're saying that the teams got together and said, we're going to show him. I don't think that's how teams think. I think if a team has an opportunity to get better by drafting a quarterback who they think is going to be their franchise quarterback, they're going to take him.
Yeah.
They're going to take him. That like there's no they have nothing to gain. And the other thing I would say is the upside to who he is and his whole persona from a financial standpoint for the team is enormous. If they thought of him as the best quarterback in the draft, none of this stuff would hold him back.
Right. It wouldn't. Yeah. It wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't have held him back to the damn fifth round.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
This kid has done nothing, and I mean, yes, he has not played against SEC talent. He's done nothing but gotten better and better and better and better.
Well,
and he showed his toughness on the field with no offensive line. He's an accurate quarterback. The kid's a leader. Yeah, you may not like his character and his bravado, but he's a leader of men. They treated Jalen Hurts the same way, but just in a different way. And I'm telling you, this kid is called by God, just like his father was, and he's going to be successful.
I hope he's successful.
Yeah, listen.
Saying like, I hope that he shows the league that, okay, when it's time to get the bag, pay me. Pay me, because, again, you took me through all this. I'm not a fifth-round quarterback. You know, if I'm a backup, I should be a third-round. You're darn near a sixth-round where you're on a practice squad. He's darn near a practice squad player getting drafted at the draft capital he got drafted at. I hope he charged the league out the bazooka. Out the bazooka. Because this ain't right. This ain't never happened in NFL history. Never.
Israel, here's the thing. I appreciate the call, man. I understand people are frustrated with this thing. I get that. He should have been hired in a fifth-round draft pick. I think we all can agree with that. But here's also what contributes to teams falling out of love with you. All right, it's one part is on the field. They watch your film. They watch your footage to see what you do, competition you do it against. That's one part of it. Well, the other part of it is, and more importantly, at this position, I think that's the part where people are minimizing. It's not a linebacker. It's not an offensive lineman. It's not some cocky wide receiver or DB where you don't have the same amount of an impact on the roster and other players as you do at this position. So who you are as a leader, how you conduct yourself, your studying habits, your football intellect, all these things matter when it comes to the quarterback position. So I say all this to say what you started to hear over the weekend was that Shador didn't interview with teams well. Meaning when he had to sit down with these coordinators and head coaches and they take him through the interviewing process, I don't know what questions they asked him. I don't know if they asked him to get up to the board and draw certain plays or figure out certain in-game situations based on this, and he wasn't prepared for it. But you're starting to hear that type of stuff. So when that happens and your skill set isn't necessarily overwhelming or eye-popping, teams are going to say, well, hold on. He doesn't have a cannon for an arm. He isn't quick like Lamar Jackson or whomever. He doesn't have the biggest physique, the size, or what have you. And you got to worry about the off-the-field stuff. And now you're going to tell me from a leadership standpoint, as a young player coming in, do I want this coming in and this is supposed to be the guy? Teams, and here's the other thing, Spike, real quick. If there's only five or six teams, maybe even less, that are even looking for a starting quarterback, you don't have as much wiggle room as you would if there were eight teams looking for a starting quarterback.
That's the other thing, is as you're going through the draft, most as you're watching it, you're like, well, that team doesn't need a starting quarterback like that. And that's when it gets into teams looking for a backup at that point.
Right.
And he is not who you want as a backup. They want a backup quarterback.
It's like having Cam Newton as a backup.
It's just like it's too much.
Yes.
Right? The same thing I was saying at Tebow.
Yep.
You just think, not worth it. And the other thing is, like, you say he's confident. Well, he doesn't throw at the combine, doesn't work out at the combine. If you're so confident, you have an opportunity to show people that you should be there. I don't know.
He didn't do enough to dispel a lot of the things people had heard about him through this process.
Absolutely. I agree with that. 215-592.
But he still can.
215. Yes, he has an opportunity.
He still can.
You're going to be in the NFL.
Yep.
215-592-9494, talking Shador Eagles. We have Elliot embedded at the White House. We'll get any update. He said he was there next to an impromptu press conference.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
That sounds great.
Yep. He didn't even know who it was.
He didn't know who it was.
All right. And Phil's, they won a series.
Jeez,
who cares about Shador?
Yes, we'll talk about that next as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.